This is episode 333, dated Monday, April 1st, and I'm not fooling. April 1st, 2024.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. This is episode 333, dated Monday, April 1st, and I'm not fooling. April 1st, 2024. Before we continue with our multitude of topics, and we got a lot to talk about today, let me introduce the sports spelunkers. Peter, I'm really taking your phrase, and I'm running with it, that's for sure. So let's start out with Peter Altschul. Peter, how are you?
Hey, welcome from Coos Bay, Oregon, where we're having two or three nice days, and of course it will rain for the next month. The next 3 days. Anyway, but we're doing fine, and we're looking forward to a good show today.
All right. We may get a little snow later in the week in these parts. We'll see, though. All right. Peter Altschul. Okay. Don Wardlow.
Hey there. From Jersey, where it quit raining about an hour ago. We're supposed to have a nice rest of the day, and then supposed to rain the rest of the week, so they say.
Michael Garrett.
Yes. Welcome to beautiful, cloudy, but 82 degrees, Dury City, Texas.
Send it this way, please. Mitch Pomerantz.
Well, good afternoon, good evening. It is 65 and sunny in Pasadena. We just got through another very rainy weekend. And all's right with the world. The Dodgers took 3 out of 4 from the Cardinals, and the USC Lady Basketballers are going to go all the way to the tournament championship and win if things go according to plan. So
there you go.
Things are well.
You've got nothing to worry about, Mitch. I have faith. Anyway,
so do I.
I'm not sure Don will agree with you, Mitch, but we can talk about that later.
Yes.
Let
me thank those people who make it possible for our show to be aired. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer, Tom and Lynn from Rosie's Place Chatline. Thank you for posting our shows. Also, the media outlets, thank you for airing us when you do. We appreciate that very much. And finally, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, who archives Sports Roundtable on my website. Just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts, and you will see most of our archived programs dating back years, from latest to earliest.
Well, see, Jackie.
And thank you, Trish, for being our host for today's program, and thank you, Brad, for live streaming us on ACB Media 5. And because you do that, we have people who do not know how to reach us because a lot of you are not part of my distribution list. So our email address here at Sports Roundtable is bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. Don, what about those Yankees? They're 4-0. 1-4.
Yeah, 4-0. And the funny thing is, Thursday night was their first game, and early on, Nestor Cortez did what Nestor Cortez was doing most of last year, and that was giving up a lot of runs. He got them down 4-0, and I forget what basketball game was on Thursday, but I switched away from the Yankees, and I wished I hadn't because they did come back and win, and that was their first win out of 4.
And they swept Houston.
Yeah.
Which is a shocker. I'll be the first to admit that.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's the opening weekend of the season, you just rarely beat Houston 4 out of 4.
From what I understand,
Don was happy. He was happy about that. I thought about him in all of those games. Darn it, he's winning. and we were ahead in most of those games, and our pitching. And there's another element to this. Whole thing. In several of those games, at least 2 of those games, we pitched our closer in the 9th inning. We were behind, but Houston pitched the closer. We pitched Josh Hader. Presley gave up. He's the secondary closer. He gave up some runs, and while Hader kept us close in a couple of those games, last night he blew it. So that was an interesting turn of events, trying to hold him close, hoping to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth or go ahead and win. But it backfired, and the Yankees got out of here with the sweep, and now they go to Arizona.
And what I missed out on hearing Juan Soto make an incredible play from the outfield on Thursday, the opening day.
He threw out a runner from second base. He cut him down like a tree trunk.
And that's not what he's known for, though. He's known as a hitter, in fact, they were talking about making him a DH if things didn't improve with his defense. But my goodness, that sure was a good way to start the season. You know, if it is any indication of what he can do in the outfield, he's been working on it in spring training. There are coaches he's been working with. I don't have their names, but that's what he's been doing, trying to improve his act, step his game up, as Money May used to say.
Michael, I think you're going to discover, when the Dodgers were talking about signing Hader, I was crossing my fingers and hoping they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Hader goes through phases. He goes through periods where he couldn't find the home plate with a GPS. If he blew the game, don't be surprised. It'll happen some more during the season.
Every closer does that. That's the nature of the closer, yeah. Except for one, Mariano Rivera.
First two games out, he struck out he had six strikeouts.
Yep.
All closers are going to blow saves, but what is that comment? All closers are equal, but some are more equal than others, right?
Equal than others. You know, the Dodgers had some closers that hardly ever blew games. So the first 3-4 years, Kenley Jansen blew nothing. He was always doing well. And, you know, again, showing our ages, to me, the guy that whenever he came in to face the Dodgers back in the 70s, I knew the game was lost, was Bruce Sutter. And I don't think Sutter gets enough credit because he was tremendous for several years for the Cubs.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
He was there,
and the Cardinals.
Yep.
Other teams that are surprising me this weekend, the Pirates and the Tigers. I know it's only one series, but you have to be impressed.
Yeah, well, the Pirates jumped out last year, 20 up and 9 down, and they ended up 10 games in the bucket. So I wouldn't put too much weight. And they were playing the Marlins. We don't know how good the Marlins may or may not be. I hope they're as good as they were last year.
And of course, the Mets with their usual falling apart early. That's always a promising, good sign that baseball has started. it's always
was shocking. And the Brewers aren't even expected to be as good as they were, but they either swept them or they took them 3 out of 4, one or the other.
They swept them.
They swept.
It was ugly.
Very.
Somebody got decked by one of the Mets pitchers, Yoan Ramirez, I believe the pitcher's name was, and he got tossed out of the game for doing it.
He just got suspended for three games.
Well, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah.
I did notice that, but I forgot it.
Now, Gerrit Cole, Don, you were telling me before the program that you heard Gerrit Cole might be out for the season, and it goes back to a point that I keep addressing. You have a players' union. Supposedly, the players' union is very powerful and very vocal. Can't a lot of these players stand up and say, hey, will you stop these front offices for telling us how to do our craft differently than what we're used to doing?
Well, I'm not sure how much that had to do with Cole getting injured, but...
We don't know, obviously. But in general, the injuries are skyrocketing, especially on the mound.
They have been. They've been over the last decade, and I'm I'm a firm believer that throwing 100 miles an hour isn't something God intended us to do. And it would be a lot better if they would dial back and top out at 90, you know, like they did in the 80s and the 90s. We had a guy in the 90s who touched 95, and that's one guy we had in 12 years in the minor leagues. And we put up with a lot of shenanigans from that guy because he could touch 95. We didn't have anybody in my 12 years who could touch 100, and we didn't see anybody who could touch 100. It's entirely happened since I got out of the game in 2002, and it would save a lot of players a lot of agony if they would dial back and stop aiming for 100 miles an hour.
Well, that's probably not going to happen because they're getting coached up like that in high school and college. But, you know, to the point we've talked about before, I talked to a guy. He was our personal training for about a year, and he played Division II basketball somewhere in the Northeast. It might have even been Massachusetts, but he said the same thing. He said that they're throwing too hard. They're throwing pitches that, you know, they really shouldn't be pitching. They shouldn't be throwing until their arms have had a chance to mature. So, you know, who was a personal trainer and played college basketball said the same thing.
And so, I've got a nephew who was a pitcher on the high school level. I think he still is, but he's getting out of it. He has not had an injury yet. And God help him, I hope he never does. But this is his last year. He's not going to play at the college level. He's just, you know, not about the kind of pressure that these guys have.
Look, some physicians take a toll on your body. My brother-in-law played college baseball, and he was a catcher. He just had a knee replacement. He's got a bad knee. And he's probably got two bad knees, but it's, you know, catching messes up your knees,
sure,
your legs, as pitching messes up your arm.
Catching is murder. Absolutely. And, you know, I've got a niece who was a college soccer player and blew out her ACL. And because she's not a professional, she didn't get the treatment that a professional would. And it took her, I think, 5 operations before she could basically walk the way we all do.
Michael?
So here's my question. I wonder if a pitching expert could help us. You know, if they were to dial it back a little, could the breaking balls be as effective in throwing off a batter's timing or his vision as trying to throw, you know, 97 to 100 miles. I wonder if they could have an effective breaking ball in that 90 to 95.
Well, before analytics, pitches were very effective. It didn't matter what they threw. Everybody had their own style. And if they were good at it, they would be successful at it. Doesn't matter whether they were knucklers or fastball pitchers or breaking ball pitchers or whatever you want to call their style. If they were successful, they were good. And it didn't matter about science in the game.
I wonder if another problem with all this, this was a big topic of conversation several years ago, is that more and more athletes are being encouraged to play just one sport. You know, so, you know, rather than playing baseball in the spring and, you know, basketball in the winter or track or something in the, you know, whatever, they're more and more playing baseball year round or preparing for baseball, whatever. And, there was a lot of talk about this being sort of bad on all kinds of levels, especially for injury, because if you're playing other sports, you know, during the year, different muscles tend to get activated, and there's less likelihood of the pitching things that we're talking about. You know, why are we insisting that people, eighth graders or seventh graders or 10th graders play just one sport? It never made sense to me, and it doesn't make sense to me now.
You know, As I think back on it, though, we're saying now that pitchers, there are more injuries, fastball pitchers. But I'm thinking of a couple of guys, again, back in the 70s, whose careers, I think, were shortened by throwing hard. One was James Rodney Richard, and the other was Don Gullett. I think their careers were definitely shortened by how fast they were throwing the baseball. And I think Sam McDowell and Gary Nolan had pretty good careers, but I think they had some arm issues too. But James Rodney and Sam were in Gullett.
JR had a stroke.
And yeah.
So that helped him.
Yeah. I'll give you an exception, Mitch, Clemens. He was a fastball pitcher, and look how many years he lasted.
Well, I was going to say the original.
So was Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, I was going to say Nolan Ryan was the one who had, but he was Superman. I mean,
yeah,
he was inhuman.
Right. Both of them were.
So speaking of inhuman, talent and, skills, we probably should talk about women's basketball,
Before we do, I just want to mention who the final four for the men are going to be. Just for the record, it's going to be North Carolina State versus Purdue and Alabama versus UConn. UConn all the way. There's no question about that in my mind. None.
Purdue might give them a run for their money. Purdue looks awfully good.
Nobody thinks that anybody's going to give UConn a battle, given how UConn has beaten everybody like a drum so far in the tournament, double-digit wins.
I mean, they demolished Illinois. That was
ugly.
I mean, they went
30-0 run in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, the UConn women used to do that 15 years ago. We don't even do that now.
Well, I haven't given up on Purdue. I hope Connecticut wins because I'm an East Coast guy at heart. But Purdue looks pretty good, and they have that big man who can dominate. I know UConn has somebody who can guard him and stuff, but Purdue looks pretty good. I don't see Alabama giving Connecticut much of a run, anyway, we'll see. We'll talk about the final game on Monday, on Monday Sports Roundtable.
The two women tonight that you want to see. In game one, you have Caitlin Clark. Iowa's going to play LSU. That's the rematch from last year's championship game. It's just a matter of the way the brackets fell that they're playing in the final eight this year. And so Iowa, Caitlin Clark plays LSU. Then you got Juju Watkins against my Huskies. And that
Juju.
That is downright
Huskies. Yeah, there's only going to be one UConn champion this year, Don. And it's not going to be the women.
You know what? Every time I've written off this team, I've written them off since they lost to Notre Dame on January 27th. And consistently, I've written them off since then. And what have they done? Nothing but win. And they surprised the heck out of me when they beat Syracuse. They beat Duke. I'm not saying they're going to beat Juju and USC. I'm not saying that's an absolute. I'm not putting any dime on it. But whatever they do, considering the six injuries they've had, this is a successful season. That's not normally something you hear a UConn fan say unless we go to the Final Four. But I think this is a successful season, even if we do lose tonight and Juju runs off 50 against us.
The thing we've talked about USC before with USC women's basketball, Mitch, you have talked about it. Juju not, you know, he's being young and not being a particularly good team player at the moment. It seems to me that UConn can give USC a run for their money. I know Mitch, you are a diehard Trojan dude, but I would not be shocked if they lose tonight.
Well, we'll have to see. Juju. Freshmen are freshmen, or usually they are, and we'll just have to see. She's got a couple of good supporting cast members, so we'll hope that they play team basketball and that she has a good shooting night and that we go on to the Final Four.
And you know, every coach I've heard say the best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores.
Yeah.
And in the men's, they don't. The men's, they go to the NBA, but the women, they stay and become sophomores. And yep. Unless she transfers somewhere, SC will have Juju next year. And just look out. Everybody else better look out because Caitlin will be gone. You know, I don't know who's going to be everywhere else because we haven't had the transfer portal yet. But you have NC State playing South Carolina in one half of the Final Four. That's all set. Those two are going to meet. And that, I know South Carolina is probably going to win it, but SC State is not going to roll over the way North Carolina did and lose by 47 points. SC is not going to beat NC State by that much.
And then I don't know how the brackets are laid out, Don. Maybe you do, but could we have a USC-USC final?
That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
South Carolina and Southern California, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Or they could meet in the Final Four on Friday. They couldn't meet in the semi. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think LSU will beat Iowa again. I'm just not sold on Iowa. I mean, I love Clark, of course, but I'm just not sold on the Iowa team. LSU seems to, you know, rise to the occasion, and they've given South Carolina a run for their money. I think three times all, you know, or twice at least. I think they really may be the second best team in the country. But I guess we'll find out tonight.
Speaking of LSU, has anybody been following the Kim Mulkey situation?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
I heard an interview yesterday with the Washington Post writer of that article. And, you know, from his perspective, it really didn't sound like he was out to do a hatchet job. I think what he tried to do was focus a little more on the family estrangement between Mulkey and her sister and her dad. But Mulkey is one of those coaches who takes offense at anything negative. And particularly anything related to her personal life, which, you know, there's a part of me that can understand that. But people are thinking she's the Bob Knight of 2024. So I was wondering what folks thought of the article or what you've heard about that.
That will be because Gino has mellowed out a lot at Connecticut. Gino's not the roughneck that he was about 10 years ago. So, and Pat Summitt has passed on. So those were the two Bobby Knights of women's basketball. So Kim might be the heiress apparent.
And I guess my reaction to this is we live in everybody wants to be the victim. I don't care. Everybody wants to be the victim. And I think, she did the, I'm aggrieved by this. And, you know, it's politically correct these days to trash the media in some circles. And I think that, she tried to get in front of the story and I downloaded the article. It's just way too long to read. I just didn't have time to read it.
Oh.
I don't know. It just strikes me as, I wish we would all mellow out a little bit as Taylor Swift saying, you need to calm down a little bit. It's just sort of tiring to hear
shake it off, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I don't get? Kim Mulkey, formerly Kim Mulkey Robertson. By the way, what happened to Robertson? Anyway, she has been a public figure for so long. Why now? Why in 2024? You know, after she's been a public figure for at least 20 years, she was coaching for Baylor. And she coached Baylor when she had that insufferable, what was her name? Brittany Griner. She dealt with that. She put up with that. And now in 2024, she's, you know, complaining about the media. I totally don't get it.
I wonder if some of it has to do with, you know, there are coaches that get their teams roused to play by saying it's us against the world. And she's clearly one of those coaches. Maybe she's using this as a way of psyching the team up, because they seem to like her, even though one of their players, she suspended one of them earlier in the year, I guess didn't like her social media posts, but it maybe it's a psychological tactic that she's using to push the team, push her team on to winning.
You may be right.
I don't know. She seemed to have, like she's picking a fight. Because remember early in the season when they had the licks that were passed in the can't remember which game was Iowa and she said, she came out and said, oh, I wish that was Angel she had thrown that lick at.
Yeah.
So it's like she's picking fights. So I don't know. I mean, well, where did that come from? I thought that was very unnecessary for a coach to say that.
Let's bring some other folks into this discussion. And of course, everything's on the table. You can talk about whatever you want here on Sports Roundtable. Don't be shy. Talk about whatever's on your mind. If you want to talk to us, raise your hand. Trish will acknowledge you and we'll bring you into the discussion. So Trish, is there anything that you can report back? Do we have any hands raised?
Yes, we do. Troy Larson.
Ah.
Troy.
Hi guys, how's it going?
All going right. Good.
We're right. Doing okay.
Yep. So I want to bring back the discussion back to when we were talking about all these injuries to pitchers, especially in the point that, you know, the kids are trying to specialize in, you know, one sport or, you know, do one sport all year round. I actually think there could be something said about being involved in multiple sports, but what I'm really getting at is my nephews, for example, they're involved both in, baseball and hockey. Their age is, 10 to 12. And it seems like, especially with the hockey is like year round. They may not be playing games year round, but it seems like, you know, in the summertime, they have like hockey camps that you can do. And I remember last summer that one of my nephews was playing hockey in August. So, you know, you could save it for, you know, some, you know, I actually think that these programs, you know, these traveling programs, they want to make as much money as possible. So they try to extend out year round. You know, people want to make as much, you know, people want to do hockey camps or baseball camps or whatever. They want to make money off of that. Some parents are like, oh, my kids can be, you know, be the next, I don't know, Wayne Gretzky or, I don't know, the next, Babe Ruth or whatever, you know, and they get caught up in that mindset that my kids will be the next greatest, you know, athlete that they think I have to sign my kid up for every single camp opportunity I can get. And could this training of these players when they're young, could that be contributing to the injuries later on? I don't know. I mean, it just seems like, you know, I remember when my brother played baseball back in the day. Sure, they did have some stuff you could do in the offseason as far as training, but it wasn't, I don't think it was as big of a deal as it is now. In fact, now, there's even the club baseball, there's even, fall baseball. You know, you can play in the fall here in Minnesota. And both my nephews have been involved in that. In one way or another, once the regular summer traveling baseball season's over, but they are playing baseball in the fall. You know, are we because of this need to, you know, make money off of different, programs that then the parents, you know, they sign the kids up, you know, to play. Could this be contributing to some of the injuries? As well as the increased velocity that the pitchers are throwing. And the injury thing is not just in baseball. I mean, it's in other sports too, but I think it's a thing that we need to look at. To think about, like, how much do we want the kid to be playing sports? Because after all, not that many kids are going to become a next great athlete in their chosen sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, or hockey. Or,
you know, Troy, you make a good point. I think more than just the issue of players, young kids should, you know, whether they play more than one sport. I actually think the issue is that young athletes are playing year round and they don't give their bodies a chance to rest.
Yeah, I agree. Cause you know, like my brother, his two main sports, once he quit playing soccer, it was just the club soccer, run through the city of Burns. It wasn't traveling, anything like that. But after seventh grade, he quit playing soccer and his two main sports. Baseball was his primary, you could say, because he played that in high school. But he also played, basketball. For the most part, it was, just through the city of Burnsville. You know, maybe these parents need to think, okay, when you reach a certain age, you look at, okay, which one is my kid showing the most interest in? Which one is my kid, good at? You know, and just stick with that one main sport. And maybe what you need to do is have a season off where you're not really, you know, maybe you might be doing some training stuff, but you're not playing any games or anything like that. You're just taking a break, taking a couple months off, and then you're back at it, you know, with your, you know, whatever the next season is. You know, I think you brought up a good point, Mitch, that these athletes, they just seem to somehow give them this mindset, go to the, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that, then maybe we need to take a couple months off, you know, to kind of, you know, take a pause, relax, just kind of let the body rest and then you can go back at it. You know, I don't know if it's so much, you know, it could be the specialist, you know, being, it could be the fact that, you know, the kids specialize in one sport, but it could also be the fact that kids are overworked by being involved in multiple sports. You know, it's a really hard debate. I mean, it's a really hard thing to pinpoint. You know, I also think that, you know, we have more training options nowadays too. You know, you can lift weights during the off season. You know, back years ago, athletes didn't do that so much and it seemed like the injuries did not happen. And, you know, it's probably not just one factor that's been contributing to the injuries. The increased level of injuries, so whether it's in baseball or whatever the case is, football. So I don't think it's one factor, but I think it's multiple factors, and who knows? It very well could be, because a lot of these players are getting injured. It very well could be the fact that this new generation of athletes, they've been overworked when they were younger, and now it's catching up to them.
There are more Tommy Johns than ever before because I understand it starts in the schools. They're encouraged to throw too hot.
Well, I mean, I've not been around that portion yet, but I could see that. Yeah, you know, the coaches, I'm sure, you know, they do all these training in high school and they encourage them to throw hard. And of course, that's going to catch up as well.
Thank you, Troy. We wish the Twins well. They seem to have. I think they've started pretty well, as I remember my, what's going on with the Timberwolves?
Timberwolves, they won, I think it was four games in a row, then last night they lost. They actually came back, but then the Chicago went on like a 13-2 run to finish the game and we lose.
What's the status of their star players? I can't remember right now. Wasn't he hurt for a while or is he back?
Cool.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, thank you, Mitch.
Carl Anthony Towns is not back yet. He had a knee issue. So, and I know he had surgery on, I think it might have been a torn meniscus, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me correct. I've been so preoccupied with the college basketball tournament with the men's that I've kind of not totally kept tabs on it, but,
your Timberwolves are third with a record of 51-23.
I believe you're right about that, sir. So,
by the way, Troy, next week, the Dodgers go into, Minneapolis and deal with the Twins. There's a 3-game series there next. I think it's, I don't know if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
It's a Monday through Wednesday deal if they come in after.
The real question is what will the weather be? Will it be above or below freezing? I think that's the real question.
Yeah. Well, you know, back when we got the new stadium, people were worried about how is this going to work out when we don't have Metrodome anymore. Well, I think it's worked out for the most part. You know, if it's too cold, you know, too rainy, you just have to make up the games later on. You know, that's just.
Well, I remember a game back in 21. I think it was in 21, Troy, where the Sox played the Twins in April in the snow up in Minnesota. And I'm surprised they didn't call that game off.
The Dodgers had a game against the Rockies 2 or 3 years ago. They had to shovel the field before they played. So, it's not unheard of.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, part of it is the product of the fact that the schedule is earlier in baseball as far as when the season starts. So,
the problem with it is I think that the Dodgers and the Twins only play once, which is,
that's
you know,
correct.
So if there is bad weather, you know, they almost have to try to fit the games in somehow, which of course might increase the injury rate a little bit. You know, if you're playing in bad weather, if it's cold, you know how the muscles work.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's.
Well, the Dodgers will warm up for Minneapolis by playing in Wrigley Field this weekend. So it's not like they're going to. Yeah. It may be worse.
You know, I also wonder too, you know, the injuries. I wonder if what happens sometimes because the players they are used to train like in Florida or Arizona, then they go to a cold weather climate, then they pull a muscle or something that first series. That seems to be kind of common these days.
Yeah, and they'll never do something I've been talking about for 10 years, and that is front load the schedule in the warm weather cities. They'll never do it. The union will never allow it, but
I think they have kind of tried to do it somewhat, but not totally.
Why won't the union allow it done?
I mean, they will insist on X home games for and X road games. And it's an unfair, you know,
well, you're still
going to
have
kind.
The same number of home games throughout the season, no matter what.
Yeah, but it's one thing to be on the road for, I'm making this up, 3 weeks in a row, which is not what Don is talking about, but you try to get a balance as best you can.
Well,
I do think Don has a point though. You know,
in Minnesota, it's not a question of 1 or 2 degrees above freezing. It's 1 or 2 degrees above zero. That's the question in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I live there and there's only one good thing about living in Minnesota and that's being a newlywed in Minnesota. That's the one good thing. Other than that, you can keep Minnesota, Troy.
Yeah. Well,
although while you have the floor, why don't you talk about your old school? You have your time now, if ever.
Oh, sure. I can bring that up. I did not actually catch a lot of the games. Well, I came upstairs in the basement Saturday. I was listening to the Twins game and Dad had the Minnesota State Mankato men's, championship game on. They were in the, D2, level for the, championship game in college basketball. And I came up and they had just hit a 3-pointer that gave them the lead. With like 0.8 seconds left, they were checking something on the replay when I came up there. And so the Minnesota State Mankato men's
your D2 champs. And that's where you got your education. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, that's where I went to school at the Minnesota State Mankato. And so then Friday night, the women won their the Minnesota State Mankato women a championship. And
the neat thing is the men's, that 3-pointer got played on Westwood One, which is the one time that's ever going to happen. That was special.
It was the Westwood One call I heard during the post-game show of the men's tournament on Saturday night. And if I may play the interview they did with one of the Willingham brothers, it was the brother of the guy who made the three-point shot that won the game. And they just sound like they're really excited about the whole thing. I mean,
no doubt.
I mean, oh,
man, I would love to have my Division III boys. They've gone Sweet 16 the last 2 years. I'd love to see them win the national championship.
And
hey, Don, to your earlier question, I just did a quick count. There are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. There are 9 cities that you might consider warm weather cities this time of year. So
you would,
Tampa, Miami, Houston, Dallas, Phoenix, San Diego, LA, San Francisco.
And add Milwaukee because they've got a dome.
And Atlanta, and if I didn't mention Atlanta.
Sure you didn't. That's a good count. I hadn't really.
So I just did. And so it's a great theory. I've heard it before, but in practice, it can't happen.
Yeah. And you're going to have guys suffering like Troy pointed out. And we had a guy on one of the.
Yeah. Let's do two things. Troy, thank you for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Troy. Sure. I think Trish wants to chime in. Trish?
Yes. Sure. I just wanted to let you guys know there is another hand.
Let's do it.
All right. Who do we have?
Gene Johnson.
Gene Johnson from Ohio. Yes. Hi, Gene.
Hey.
What can we do for you?
So I'm starting to become a Reds fan. Being so close to Cincinnati that I am right now. I was kind of impressed with that game. I honestly will say, I did listen to the Red Sox game and I mean, they did at least walk away with 2 wins on their game with,
Seattle.
That's it. Thank you. I was thinking of the team name, but I knew that where they were playing.
Gotta love their pitching though, Gene, the Red Sox. You gotta love it.
They're not bad. I'm really hoping that this year is a good year for them, but we'll see.
You were going to say something about the Reds though.
And you got John Sadak doing your television. He went to the same school that I did.
Yeah. That's what I was actually kind of interested in is the actual, commentary. I've been such a fan of Joe Castiglione and, I just always loved listening to that game because, I mean, they just always do a really good job in commentating. But, I think it was the Cowboy.
Yeah, Jeff Brantley.
Yes. I just was like kind of impressed with it. I mean, last year I was listening to a little bit of the Guardians and I don't know. Out of the
team,
2 teams
Tom
here in
Hamilton,
Ohio, I would say it's the Reds.
Tom Hamilton and Jim Rosenhaus in Cleveland. I like them a lot. And now I like, Tommy Thrall's good on radio and John Sadak is on TV and I can't afford their TV package. But John, went to Glassboro as I did. Yeah. So good announcing they've got. And it's a real history. They had Marty Brenneman before. And Al Michaels before him.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I haven't been paying much attention to the Reds, but what I've heard is they're supposed to be a pretty good team this year. I mean, the NL Central is sort of weird anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, the thing is I'm kind of following it a little bit more this year, I think, because last year I was so disappointed in the Red Sox that I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should just split my allegiance. Kind of what I did with football too, but
well, the Red Sox have improved, especially defensively.
That's what I'm seeing at least. But I would have honestly kind of thought that they would have done a little bit better,
at acquiring people. I know people are all over Greg Breslow about that.
Yeah. So
I mean, does Seattle count as a warm weather city?
Only if warm weather to you is 45 degrees at night.
Yeah, and you've got all that rain up
but
there.
Doesn't Seattle have a dome? Or is that
they did get rid of it.
It's a retractable. I think they put the roof on, I think, when it's raining.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do have the dome.
So that would be another team that conceivably could
do
that.
Yeah, so that brings it to 10 or 11. Look, Alex Friedman was, he was very lucky. The Dodgers, or Oklahoma City, not the Dodgers anymore, Oklahoma City opened up against Tacoma this weekend, and they got all three games in without any rain.
That's good.
Yeah, it was a good weekend here. Not that I'm, this is.
I was going to say to Gene, you got one very, very dynamic player in Ellie De La Cruz. I jumped in right about the time last year when they brought him up from Louisville, and De La Cruz is something else again. If he stays healthy, look out.
I heard, I thought of him last night or in the afternoon when, the Dodgers were talking about this kid center fielder for St. Louis named Victor Scott. And I don't remember if it was Monday or Tim Neverett said Victor Scott may be the fastest player in baseball. And I was thinking, I'd like to see, that would be a great race between him and De La Cruz, because they said De La Cruz last year might be the fastest player in baseball. That would be a great 100-yard dash.
Now, was Victor there last year, Mitch? I don't remember that name before.
But they've got several injuries. Nuke Barr, is out. They got somebody else out. So no, I don't think Victor Scott. In fact, no, Victor Scott last year, they said it a couple of times. In AA and AAA stole a total of 94 bases.
Oh, that's wild.
In one season?
One season.
So I do have a couple of questions for Bob here. I mean, I haven't really been paying too much attention to hockey because, I mean, the Bruins look a little iffy this year.
The Bruins' problem is they keep losing games in overtime. There are exceptions,
yes.
But Because they're right near the top. I mean, it's bunched up at the top.
I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. The question is, you know, how far are they going to make it? Because, I mean, they screwed up with Tampa Bay, and that's going to be their crutch, I think, if they have to go on again. So.
Oh, the Rangers, too. They're a fly in their ointment as well.
Well, and the other thing was doing a lot of watching is the Celtics. They are on fire, and I'm really, really hoping this year is the year, but we'll see.
Well, those two losses against the Hawks, I don't know if you saw those losses, Gene. I still can't figure that out. Why the Hawks? Why can't they win?
I did hear about it, at least in the news bit, and half basically.
The Hawks were injured.
I don't know. The Celtics had have a couple of funk games, if you ask me. And I don't know if it's just maybe they're tired or what. Maybe they ought to do who's the coach for the Bruins now? What's his name?
James Montgomery.
Yeah, just have him run laps, dribbling laps.
But Gene, the Celtics aren't even playing with their starting lineup. You know, I'll give you a stat. Before the two Atlanta losses, the Celtics had won 9 in a row with 8 different starting lineups. So that tells me they're either doing a lot of load management or some guys are hobbling a little bit. So players are not playing every day. Well, when I say every day,
I think they're saving their good players for the playoffs.
So it's not like players are being drained. I mean, the whole team's contributing to their success, no matter who you put on the court.
But Bob, I think the point is a good one. Because of how long the seasons are, particularly in basketball and hockey, when you've got a lot of back to backs.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these players just sort of phone it in. The Lakers didn't show against the Nets, or not against the Nets, against Indiana a couple of three nights ago.
Right.
They were some horrific statistic, 3-point shooting. I think a lot of these guys, if they don't take the game off, load management, I hate that term, I think a lot of them play, but take the night off. So yeah. I think, you know, they looked at,
they may only play a few minutes of the game, and said it's not, if anything. Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my worries about the Celtics in the playoffs is their coach. He is the least experienced coach of the,
coaches.
Okay. And the other thing that worries me about is Tatum, who has been known to sort of lose it in pressure moments. And, I worry, I mean, they are clearly the best team in the East, but in a long playoff series, that coaching experience might really come to bite them.
I'm sure there's got to be somebody in here that honestly could think of a coach that has really honestly, not had any experience. I'm trying to remember the game, the NFL game. Who was the coach of the Rams when the Patriots played in the Super Bowl?
Was it?
I think it was Sean McVay.
Yeah, and he was what? How many years?
Not many.
It was his first or second year.
That's what I'm saying. Is I don't think it really honestly has anything to do with, you know, an inexperienced coach. It just has to do with the team.
Well, but who did the Rams play that year in the Super Bowl? They played the Patriots, as I remember, correct?
Yeah, and we were really experienced. But see, that's what I'm saying is okay, Sean McVay actually stuck in that whole year. And I mean, the fact that they gone that far, you know, doesn't surprise me. And let's look at the Chiefs. Who's the coach over there?
Well, I think the coach is one of the reasons they keep winning Super Bowl. They keep winning the close games. You know, I'm not saying the Celtics are a terrible team. Don't get me wrong. I think they're the favorites to win the Eastern Division. I think Denver will win the West, and then it's a toss-up as far as I'm concerned.
I think they're about to clinch the Eastern Division. They're about 10 games up on the second place team.
Yeah, well, but again, I get nervous about, the regular season for a lot of these sports just doesn't, except
it's
maybe
too long football. To predict. I get that. Football. Yeah.
Does it mean very much to me, at least the first half of the regular season?
It's just like anybody honestly predicting the Reds right now are going to win, you know, the playoffs in MLB is ridiculous because you've got what, 157 games to go? Something like that.
But sports guys do it all the time though, Gene.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I'm not an analytic guy kind of myself. I don't like to see anything on paper. So,
well, you know, I just don't get really interested in, you know, basketball.
Well, that was one thing I did notice is
until the midpoint of the season. I just wasn't interested. I'm sorry.
I was going to say one more thing. I did notice when I was listening.
Thank you, Trish. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gene.
I was just going to say, you know, and that was one thing that I actually did notice is I don't know if anybody has listened to the Reds game. I didn't hear too many analytics in the game. I really didn't.
Well, that depends on what team is playing and who the manager is and who the general is.
They were playing the Nationals.
I mean, the Braves are definitely not analytical.
Yeah.
Baltimore, in a sense, is not analytical. Houston's not analytical. But you take a team like Toronto, Tampa, even the Red Sox, too analytical for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess. I don't know.
Thank you for joining us. Come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be back here next week, too. I have that Monday off as well.
By all means. And by the way, next Monday is the total eclipse of the sun.
And we are in the spot where total, solar eclipse here, so we'll get it completely going all
about
the way up
2 o'clock
Cincinnati
your time. Are you in the Central Time Zone, Gene, or are you in the Eastern?
Still Eastern. I think
all right, then it'll be about
3:30, 3:50.
Yep.
Yeah,
something like that.
Well, it's a great experience. We went through this when I lived in Columbia, Missouri, and it was sort of a weird moment of life, but it's well worth paying attention to for what it's worth.
Thank you very much, Gene.
Trish,
do we have,
guys take care.
Do we have anybody else to occupy the last 2 or 3 minutes or so?
I do not see any hands at this moment.
Okay.
Right.
So Bob, I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many overtime losses do the Bruins have? Cause the Kings have 11.
Bruins have had, I don't know exactly. I'll give you that stat in one moment. Keep talking.
We
had this conversation last week, I remember, and I think the Kings were, the Kings had more overtime losses than the Bruins.
And the Kings had eight or nine of those the first third of the season. I mean, it was ridiculous. So,
Mitch?
Yes.
They have 15 overtime losses.
Oh, they got the Kings beaten by four. Okay. Crazy.
I just can't. I'm one of these people who thinks the whole hockey, overtime system during the regular season is just an utter waste of time. You know, back in the, 80s and 90s, if a game ended in a tie, it ended in a tie. You know, I just think this over during the playoffs, of course you got to have 7th overtime. That's a must. Yeah. But during the regular season, I just think it's nuts. I really do.
Well, you want to talk about player injuries. If you're a top line, defenseman or winger or center, you may be in the game for half of the 60 minutes. And then when they go to 3-on-3, there are a lot of injuries in hockey.
Yeah, there are. And the same with football too, for that matter. I have the same problem with football. Both pro and college, especially pro. If you're gonna, back in the day, Mitch, you know this, if the game ended in a tie at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And we are out of time.
Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Sorry, gentlemen, but okay. Time flies when you're having fun. So we will be back next week for another edition of Sports Roundtable. We'll know who the final two men are going to be. The women, we'll see what happens. And it'll be post-total eclipse when we come on the air again. Thank you, everybody, for being with us today. And thank you, Trish, for being our host. Thanks to all of our callers as well. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. See you next week.